right, everybody. Welcome to another amazing episode of the
Adulia Podcast.
Boom. And in this week's episode, me and Lou really wanted to just go over the importance of why us skateboarders should be strength training, right? Me and him decided midway through the episode, we were going to talk about hips, and we just kept talking about skateboarding, and we were running around why us skaters should train. And Lou made a good point. He's like, let's stop really trying to tell these people like, oh, like you can do this and that during a warm-up and this and that, blah, blah. No, but strength training is very, very important. And we go over exactly why. I talk about my own experiences from my ankle surgery, getting back into strength training, how it's helped me tremendously and still does to this day. I even go over training some skaters that we're getting ready for a contest coming up. Phoenix Am is coming up. We're going to be doing that, getting them ready for that. We talk about the importance there. Talk about it even on Lou's end of somebody who just loves to carve the concrete and just go for it and push harder than people riding a bike next to him, and how strength training has really helped in that side of things. So really just know this, strength training is important. And if you want to know why and how it can keep you skateboarding longer and performing better and just overall feeling your best, make sure you listen to this week's episode. And before we get to it, you know, I got to give a shout out to our sponsors. Thank you to Third Layer Skate Park and Skate Shop. I love you all. Thank you for what you guys do for the skateboarding community. Monte Coso Skateboards, y'all are always out there with the handouts to people in need, and we see it. We love you guys. Last but not least, Batch Roasting Co. Shout out to Batch Roasting Co. Got you guys in my cup every single morning when I get up. I do my little routine. I pour my coffee up, and it gets me going for the day. If you want to check out any of these amazing companies, make sure you check the show notes below, along with anything else that we mention in today's episode. Now, before I take it off, real quick, we do have some coaching slots available. Me and Lou both do. So if you are looking at really getting into strength training and knowing how it's going to transfer over to your skateboard, and have confidence that your coach is also a skateboarder and understands how a skateboarders move and does the damn thing, then make sure you head down. There's a consultation link down there. Click it, choose a time slot that works best for you. Choose me or Lou, whoever you want to work with. It don't matter, because both of us can be able to help you out. Just want to throw it out there for everybody. But without further ado, I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Because what I was just looking up, honestly, if you go into, well, I use DuckDuckGo, but if you go into like probably Google too, and you type in hips and then go to.
Lou doesn't want anybody knowing what he's looking up.
I don't even live where I live on paper. Check that out, all right? It's a true story.
This is true.
What's it called? Yeah. So if you put in hips, comes up like women with hips, right? Big hips, very sexual pictures, right? But then if you type in pelvis, you get a picture, an anatomical picture of the pelvis. So it was just pretty cool. It's like, you know how like people, especially Shallow and Prescript, always brought that idea of language, you know? And it's like, wow, like when we say hips, we know what we mean. But in like a certain circle of brains, hips is going to be completely different than pelvis. If they want to be a nerd about it, because obviously, like, even in the, you know, even if you were talking to Baxter and say hip, he knows what you mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just wild how even DuckDuckGo broke it down that hips, literally not a picture of a pelvis, not a picture of an ilium or any of that shit that involves in the pelvis. It was all like Kardashian pictures and other girls with hips and shit. It was weird. And then pelvis was all pelvis.
Okay. So why?
I don't honestly, well, you know why? Because of that reason, like I said, like, general public, hips is the hips. It's the big hips. The like, I got hips and hip. You know, it's the hip. It's hip. But pelvis means pelvis. Yeah. Like, you can never really mean anything but pelvis when you're saying pelvis that I know of. There might be, pelvis might mean something else somewhere else, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Does now the, do the hips or the pelvis, do they exist without each other? Like, if somebody had no legs. Dude. Do they still have hips and a pelvis?
I think so, because what are the legs? Is the femur.
Right? Yeah. Right?
That's even the oblongs, I think, had hips. It's a TV show. It was a cartoon TV show with that. It wasn't even real people.
I know, no, but still.
Yeah. But still. No, because I was thinking about that. Like, literally, If you don't have, like, everyone's always born with hips. Unless you're just, oh, wait. No. Because I was watching this one show where the dude was in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
This, like a blob. Because his bones, something was with up his bones, they didn't develop. But he still had hips because he sat on them. And I think he had a wife, so he had sex, which you need hips for. So I'm pretty sure he had hips.
Oh, dude. You got to get them hips grooving and moving.
You need strong hips for that. Like, literally, if the only reason you want to have strong hips in life is to pump better for longer, then let that be your motivation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Literally.
Boom. Don't get gassed out.
You know, and it's one thing, like I was saying earlier, if you want to finish early, but the condom trick does work. If you're wearing a condom, and as long as it's not broken, you can bust in it. No one will know. I used to do it all the time in high school, and I never got anyone pregnant. But they thought I was a champ going 40. How did this kid do it? 45 minutes long in 10th grade. Yeah, right. I'm three nuts in. You have no idea.
He's like, yo, I busted my three times.
It's a true story, baby.
Okay. I'm bringing the conversation back now to the hips and what we're... you know, we are. Hips moving, right? And I think an important thing to note, too, is like the thing that we're talking about with like the pelvis and like having no legs or having legs kind of goes into thinking of like... A lot of people, I know what I've ran into at least the most is like they'll think they have a hip problem because like their hips are shaped different, right? Like because one hip sits higher than the other or something like that. And I think it's a what we call a morphological issue, right? And that's something that you're born with. And it's actually not really the case. It's more of like a pathological thing, which would be something that happens to you, like an injury, or in this case, the hips being uneven. Like a lot of dudes I know carry their wallet in one of their back pockets, and they sit on that wallet consistently for repeated reps of sitting. And think of the duration you're sitting into. That little bit of offset in the hip, right? Just that little bit, but for a long duration of time is going to carry over into the rest of the stuff you do. So that could even be more of like a pathological thing. But I think that's just an important thing to break down because pathological stuff, I mean, it and even morphological things can all be worked around. And that's where we go into trying to really outfunction our structure. Like me, I have a different structure to my ankle now because I tore the hell out of ligaments. Had to have them reattached, an internal brace put in, bone chopped off, bone taken out, all this good stuff. When I was younger, went to Lake Owen. Lake Owen is super sick. It's like a skate camp. Well, it used to be a skate camp. Pretty much like the baby brother of Woodward.
Yeah,
you know what Woodward is, right? Yeah. In PA. There you go. Yep. So that place, for those who don't know, it's super sick. It's like the biggest skateboard camp slash they have everything. BMXing, scootering, gymnastics, like they combine all these amazing extreme sports and kind of like put everybody together in this cool camp. And you go there for week sessions and stuff, skate, learn stuff and have fun. Lake Owen was the little one of this. Now, when I was, I think I was 11 or 12, it had to be around that time frame. My grandma got me a lifetime membership at Third Layer. Like when you have a membership, you get to skate for less each session instead of paying like the full rate and all that stuff. Right. So she got me a membership break because I was just starting to skate all the time, or a membership card for life. Won a drawing to Lake Owen for free for a week. I was stoked, bro. I was like, let's go. Like, I get to go skate. Best time of my life. Put freaking Icy Hot on my balls for like $20 because I wanted a freaking blue Slurpee. And like, wait, many memories, bro.
That was a
like,
dare? That was a dare thing? Dude, because I thought for a second you say like you read somewhere that Tony Hawk did it once or something, and you just thought it was gonna like help you. Know?
No. We were just like 13, like from our counselors were like 16 and 17, and then like there's a couple 18-year-olds, like the adults, and then the rest of us were like 10 to 16. So you gotta imagine that, like a bunch of boys skaters, and then like we all have.
What
like
else are you gonna do besides put on your balls,
skaters,
you know?
Right? Yeah, they're like, hey, we got $20. Anybody who wants to throw some on?
I was like, I'll fucking do it. Bro, I'll put both on there, bro.
Do it.
Kidding me? Got any fucking Kayon fucking crushed pepper, bro? I'll put a flake in my pee hole. Kidding me?
One dude, oddly liked it way too much.
Yeah, dude, there's some sick Ralphie Cipolletto from The Sopranos used to like some weird shit done to him. So, and look what happened to him. Tony bashed his head in over killing a horse. You don't want your head to be bashing over killing a horse, so don't put Icy Hot on your balls.
No, you'd really don't. Yeah, but great time when I was there, right? So, bunch of memories, and I was super hyped to skate, but the thing that sucked was, and this leads into a hip injury that I had, was there's a foam pit. I mean, you've seen those before, right? Like the dope ass foam pits you can just launch into. You can actually like try a trick if you want to, or you can just do what I did when I was a kid and just jump off and flip your body in each direction you possibly could. Now, this one time I went to go, and I've always skated very loose trucks, which is something I am changing. And if you want to know why I'm changing it around and how it's actually affecting my skating, please reach out, because I have something interesting. I'm not going to go into this episode. Maybe we'll save it for a different one because there's a lot there. But used to skate really, really loose trucks, like to the point where you could shake my board and you'd see the trucks move.
Yeah,
like,
but you know what, though? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I feel like talking about that in this episode would be great because it does involve a lot of hip movement. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have the capabilities to get in those ranges of motions that your hip should be able to go through, having the tight truck and the loose trucks, you won't see that. And now you know that.
Exactly. So that. Mm-hmm. Yep. So like for me, right? Like a perfect example is like me, Lou, and my coach Baxter broke down a bunch of my own skate clips and other skate clips a little while ago. And one thing we noticed specifically about me is, and he asked without even knowing, I've never told him I rode loose trucks. He was like, "Hey, do you have loose trucks?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do." So then we started breaking it down further. And if you look at the way you skate and you really like review a clip of how you land, right? You can look into stuff when you're popping and stuff, but it's a little bit harder to see if you don't have like that coach's eye, but more so when you land is a big thing. When I land, if you were to go to my Instagram, I land very, very, very stiff. Like my body just is upright. Like I don't have like that. I have a flowy style, but the way I just land is very abrupt. Like it's just boom. Like I don't move at all, but my board moves for me. That's because I have those very loose trucks. So what I'm allowing, and it's not to say like this is wrong or right. It's just more so like, hey, know this and like choose what to do from there. Because like for me, I would rather be able to move my body better, be able to land better and know I'm not landing so stiff, which also then carries over into the rest of my life, making sure I have more access to ranges of motion that I can just use being a dad, doing all the dad things I do, you know, everything. So
I'm sorry, or you can just keep skating. Being able to land the tricks, do all the tricks that you could do now on loose trucks, you could do all that stuff on tighter trucks is going to help you skate longer.
So I would say it's going to help you skate longer in the fact of you're just going to have more access to ranges of motion if you take some things into the gym, right? And we'll get into like gym things here in a little bit of what you can do to get better motion and movement out of the hips. But I think that's the big thing. Like, yes, I do think so. But if you were to just like tighten your trucks up and then just keep skating and not doing anything on the side of it to like give you more access to those ranges of motion that then carry over to skateboarding. Because you have to remember, like when we're skating, we don't ever want to make like an autonomous thing. So we'll break this down. Like an autonomous thing is something that just happens naturally, right? You do the skill over and over and over. Like when you're a kid and you have your board in a crack and you just completely just keep ollieing and ollieing and ollieing and ollieing and ollieing and ollieing. You're practicing this skill, right? Boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden you don't have to look down at your feet and run through popping, swiping the foot, moving the foot up, jumping. It just kind of all happens naturally, right? So now it's autonomous.
Well, autonomous is more like if you're moving and skating, you're not even thinking about the ollie. The skill's in the crack.
So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So like it got to an autonomous point. So like when you're skating, you want it to be there. Like you don't want to like be landing a trick and then thinking like, oh, I got to move my hips this way. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I'm breaking it down. Like when you're skating, like, yeah, you learn the skill, all that stuff. But like when you get to this point, when you're skating, you don't ever want to land and be like, hey, oh, I could, because I did this to myself for a while. Like when I started just learning a lot more about biomechanics and stuff, it was hard for me to like get out of my head and I was skating or doing anything like cardio, even like not thinking like, oh, how is my foot hitting the ground? How am I doing this? Like, how am I landing? All this stuff would go through my head. And like, you don't want that. Trust me. I know from experience, it's not fun. It fucks up your whole skate game. But you do want to be able to then land and have that be, there you go, like an autonomous thing, but that comes from doing the work in the gym. So yes, to make a long answer very short, I do, but there has to be more work done on
top. Yeah, it's like if you did just go from loose trucks to tight trucks, you'd be forced to have to go work out it in the gym. Like not just in the gym, but you'd have to be forced to go train it in the gym, train those ranges of motion, because you're not going to now get them through the compensation of the board that the board's allowing, whether that's more plantar, if there's my ankle, more plantar flexion, dorsiflexion. Like you actually have to get those ranges of motion now through yourself.
I think too, And I think too, it also like is how much can you skate also? Like if you are somebody who, like if I was 14 and I heard this, I could go tighten my trucks up and just skate and I'd probably be fine. Like with doing just like the right preparatory drills and like maybe one training session a week. Like I wouldn't have to like, because you got to think like the more you would skate, the more it would just become natural to land. Like for me, I only skate once a week, right? Like that's, I mean, unless I'm in my garage doing flat ground. So like the first thing I noticed the first day I went to the park, it was right after, like literally just was like starting to kind of look into this stuff, tighten my trucks up. Didn't have like any kind of plan for like how I was going to train to make sure I was accessing those ranges of motion yet. Like I do now and it's gotten a lot better. But that first day I went skating right after tightening my trucks, I couldn't land.
Hold on, that was like not too long ago, right?
Why?
So you've been skating since how long?
Yeah. Since I was 17
so you've been skating for 17
right?
years
so
with like, loose trucks. Right. So a 14-year-old, how long is a 14-year-old possibly skating? Right.
Well,
so I'm saying
7 years sometimes.
I would say like the thing is if you're gonna go from loose trucks to tight trucks, there's gonna be a change. And that's gonna be the range of motions your body.
Yeah, there's gonna be a change. Yeah.
You know?
Of course. But what I'm saying that would to speak to that is like the more you can skate, the more you're gonna be forced into those ranges of motion instead of like somebody who might skate once a week, right? You tighten your trucks up, you only skate once a week, but then you're not doing anything the entire rest of the week, right? You just skate that one time, there's no gym stuff, and then you go to skate again. You're probably going to notice there's not much of a difference. You might not be landing stuff again, all this stuff. Because like for me, this is just from personal experience for me, right? So like kind of putting it into action myself. I tightened my trucks up, skated like complete ass. Now there can be like a million other things that go into play, but I know how to check myself and be like, okay, well, what happened the day before? Like, what did I do that complained in my skate session? Everything else was pretty normal for me. It was just the way I was landing. Like I would land and then I just couldn't, I always wanted to push my heels down, right? And get my board to kind of go where I needed it to go, but that wasn't happening. So I would fall backwards, right? So then a week goes by, actually no, 2 weeks go by because my shoulder was acting up. So I took a week off of skating and just trained really hard, a lot of lower body stuff. And realized like my hip shift problem like with my left side, and this goes into like a like when I squat down, I'm always shifting away from my left side. Now when we're shifting away from something, it's because we're shifting away from pain majority of the time, or lack of mobility on one side even. So for me it was kind of like both, like the ankle on my left from the surgery and the lack of mobility there. So I put forth a bunch of effort into like the split stance lunge where I was really making sure I was shifting into my left hip, getting more there, getting more rotation by elevating my front foot and then coming deeper into this split stance lunge, right? So now it's the front foot elevated split squat. Working that, a bunch of other things, right? Just the stuff I did for my training, like the just the way I was thinking of my training changed. And then that I noticed 2 weeks later when I skateboarded, I was just more smooth all around. Now I did do a little bit of flat ground stuff in between, like in my garage, which was cool. And I noticed even a huge difference there of like how I bent down to pop my board and how I was landing. Cause there you can really, if you film yourself and you pay attention when you're watching the video of like, okay, look at that. Like I'm landing just more smooth. And I noticed that and it's just continuing for me. Little rant right there.
So you would say that if you go from loose trucks to tight trucks and you skate every day, you wouldn't have to try to find that range of motion outside of skating.
No, I didn't say that. I would just say it would be easier, you know,
it
would be, you'd probably be able to, yes, no, of course. Thank you. No, you definitely got to do work on the side. Don't get me wrong.
It's going to definitely change things, you know what I mean? Like without a doubt. And why not? Like if you got the time, like obviously we love skating, so we want to do as much of that as we can. But the point is if you look a little forward, like I want to skate longer, I want to get better at it. So let me just spend half hour, 45, an hour in the gym to elicit these range of motions, put them under a load to get my body like, okay. Because a lot of times that's what you talk about pain. Like that's a lot of times when we get that pain is like our body's not really aware that we can even be there. That's what, like what Baxter was talking about, like the compression sleeves and shit. That's only letting your body know, hey, this is where we are in space. It's okay to be here. You don't have to give me pain. Because the signals of pain and all those receptors are always going off, like you said. So
if you want to know real quick, not to cut you off, but if you want to know more about like just pain in general, definitely check out episode 54 because
that's what I'm referring to right now.
Broke down pain to
and like
degree,
that's the thing that if you go into the gym with it and you get into these range of motion, in a controlled environment, because skating is not always controlled. You don't know if you're guaranteed to land on that board. You know what I mean? So you practice it in a controlled environment. Guess what's going to be better? Like, you'll have less of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Less of like an opportunity or chance to injure yourself, because mm-hmm. you're training for those. You're not just mm-hmm. waiting like mm-hmm. to go out into the on the deck and be like, all right, let's find out now. And then whoops, hurt my ankle. Oh, guess we found out. Like, why would you do yep. that? You know?
Oh shit.
Because yep. it is good, I think, to tighten the trucks to be able to put yourself in those ranges of motion, because then you don't have to, you're relying on yourself more than the outside possibilities of what can happen. You're like, you're preparing yourself for the possibility of injury by putting your tissues through the load to increase that tissue tolerance.
No, that was a great way of explaining that too, because I think the big thing too is like where I was going with it was, I'm a lot different than a 14-year-old by
I would say so.
Yeah, I think I'm
imagine right. a 14-year-old
two K's of life.
Hey, I'm like, going to work real quick. I'll be back. Give a kiss to the kid for work. Me. Actually, you know what's weird? My great grandmother, my grandmother's mother got married at 14. Mm-hmm. She shot a man and killed him at 20.
I mean, things were so
gangster, right? Yeah, because the guy
blood, people.
Slapped her son or something like that. She walked 27 miles to do this too. I'm not kidding.
And think how much thinking happened there. She was very sure.
27 miles. She was positive. She was very confident.
It was going down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. At 20. Yeah. Blah, blah. 21-year-olds nowadays go to Disneyland with friggin' ears. I'm not going to get into this. Why are you doing this to me? Come on.
Well, okay. So where I was going with that too, talking about like 14 and somebody who's, you know, 25, 30, whatever, full-time job, kids at home, but still loves to skateboard is just the fact of like, you might just have to do things different, right? So it's like the 14-year-old, the biggest thing to them is going to be skateboarding, right? So how do we get them to be like, oh, well, let's train and still do the skateboarding thing and make this the main thing? Well, I think like you could just do this within a warm-up, right? Like making your warm-ups more so like a training session, but really making it to the point of like, it's giving you access to ranges of motion. Then you go get on that board instantaneously after you do that and you see it play in. Now with this, there can be some kind of like guesswork with individuals just because of intensity, right? Intensity is pretty much like how hard you're working. Now, like for me, my rep range could be a lot different than somebody else who has never done like a split stance lunge in the way where I would have them pushed back more. So center of mass is back. We're pushing into the heel and the middle of the front foot instead of going knees over toe, right? You might not be able to get there. So it just takes a little bit, because the thing is, you don't want to go too hard either before you hop on a skateboard, right? Like you don't want to exhaust yourself if the main goal is to skate that day. But I think this is a great way to fit it in without feeling like you're fitting it in, because you already know you need to warm up. You do these, and most of the time I still see it, I go up to everybody like, hey, you want to do a warm up with me? Because you see people just like just doing the static stretches, which is great, right? Like you can do a static stretch, but then going into something where I'm saying like this split stance lunge, maybe a single leg RDL, something that's done challenging those muscles through a range of motion with load of your body weight and gravity. And then taking that onto the skateboard has worked wonders for me and some of the skaters I'm training at the moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that like static stretching before performance is detrimental to your performance.
Well, no, so that's where I said, I think it's okay if you have the follow-up stuff.
Right,
so like right now what I see is that's what it is.
If I stretch my hamstrings, they get on a skateboard, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah, right, it's detrimental. Saying. Yeah, so like that's what you see. Yeah, and that's what you see in skate parks right now. And that's why Third Layer loves having me when I come to camp, like in the summer and stuff, because like I remember being a camper at Third Layer camp, and this is no one's fault, it's just how we're taught when PE class and all this stuff, right? And you just do these long static stretches, that's what we would do, and then we just hop on our skateboards. And for me, that's where like I felt what I call noodle legs. I did a YouTube video on that before too, where it's like I've remember stretching, and I've done this before, even like now, even like I kind of know like the implications. Like I would stretch and just do static stretching, then get on my board, and I'd still feel like I needed to like warm up, right? Like I had to cruise around the park. I didn't even want to ollie yet. Didn't want to try anything harder than like a rock to fakie, which is like one of my easiest tricks on a quarter pipe. Like I didn't want to do anything other than that for like another 5 minutes. Well, why am I going to waste time in the beginning doing something when I then have to go do it again on my board? And it's not even really, it's not transferring over too well. Like, it might feel good, which is great, but like, take that feel good feeling and then take it into a movement. Like I was saying, like a lunge, where you can use that feel good feeling you got in a more active movement, and then getting a better range of motion, like I said, through getting better active range of motion there, and then taking that on the skateboard. I've just noticed it's helped me a ton, and like I said, some skaters that I'm working with. So
that's excellent. That's excellent. Yeah,
that's my little rant on that. Where I was kind of trying to go with it was like, and then like to say somebody for me, right? Yes, I still warm up. Don't get me wrong. I'm still doing the same thing, but I then have 3 training days a week where I'm doing those warmups, but actually like adding load to them, you know, like the same kind of movements almost, but I'm now adding some weight to it, stuff like that, and putting more emphasis there. That's been great for me. Now for the 14-year-old, like they might only want to do that once a week because they will start to see the value through the warmups, and then they'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Let's get in another day. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is actually starting to help a lot. But just looking at it different for like how much you can skate, and just know that like work needs to be done regardless, just to, for me, not shouldn't say it has to be done because there's a million skateboarders out there who don't do anything and they skate amazingly. But for me, if you just want to, like Lou said, skate for longer, like it's not even like a get the whole style thing out of here and stuff or whatever, but like just keep skating. Your body is not going to want to keep skating if you keep putting all this force through ranges of motion that is not quite comfortable.
I'm thinking about this is like every single sport has a strength and conditioning complex to it, right? Except skating. Yes. In this, yep. In a global idea. Like there, I'm sure there's some individual skaters out there that have strength and conditioning coaches, and regardless,
well, yeah, like the Olympics and stuff, like the Zion, right, like, Nijas, like that type of stuff.
To me, it's like, all right, check this out, right? Because we do it to ourselves. We always talk about like, well, I guess you don't want to strength, whatever. We keep the conversation of not strength and conditioning going ourselves. So to me, it's like, how about we just try something new in skating? Like, why don't we go and try strength and conditioning and see if in 5-10 years, the kids coming up that are strength training are busting out 10-20s like Tony Hawk did in 900 last week. You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't we find out? That's what I'm saying. So, like, forget all this. I know you might not want to work out. Yeah, sure, whatever. I'm past that. If you want to get better, because every single sport, they got better when they started strength and conditioning. That's the fact. You know, if you want to get someone faster, stronger, more explosive, all these things fall under strength and conditioning. Your performance in general is strength and conditioning. Now, the skill of the sport, like the way I barbell lift and powerlifting, I practice the skill of back squatting, of deadlifting, of bench pressing, but then my accessory and supplemental movements, that those movements are in play to strengthen up my weaknesses that break me down when I'm squatting, benching, or deadlifting. And when I'm doing those, I'm literally thinking about ripping a bone off the muscle. Like, that's the amount of intensity I'm going to put into it, because that's where it's going to strengthen my skill lifts. But I'm not going into every skill lift with that idea unless it's like game day, unless it's comp day, where it's like I'm PRing, whatever the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the same thing can be carried over in the sense of skating, where it's like, when I'm skating, That's it. But give yourself the respect to be able to skate longer, better, faster, stronger, more. You be able to go more, what is it called when you do a skate? Like a round or a leg? Yeah, like your runs. Like runs. Imagine going to a skate run and you're ready to do round two right there, the second you had to finish your first. Not because you physically were shot, but because the time was over. You were in such a zone because your body's capable and ready. And you practice the skill of skating. Imagine putting the two together. That's what we're talking about always. It's not just like, we know you don't want to work out. I don't know that you don't want to work out. I think we may think that because we grew up in a culture of skaters that didn't fucking want to work out. We wanted to do drugs and fucking party. You know what I mean? That's just what it is. But if you want to be a high-performance athlete, you're going to strengthen condition. That's the bottom line. That's what every single one of them done.
Yep.
It's like that whole thing. Michael Jordan had a trainer. You know what I mean? That's all we're saying. It's like, you got to... I think we do ourselves a disservice by having the conversation that people don't want to train, when it's like, no, maybe we just haven't had enough conversations in skating around strength and conditioning.
And I think we just gotta like get enough people to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's start doing it
more. Like, because it's like it's yeah, we are. I mean, we are. I'm an example. Exactly. Like, I'm a walking example. I'm literally training. I'm not gonna throw names out there right now, but you know, I'm training some people. We're going out to Phoenix Am, which is a huge skate contest. So you already know what it is. We going out there. I'm gonna make sure they're all good and ready to go for this contest. And I already had one who gave me feedback, and he's only had like one skate session since we trained together on Monday. It's now Thursday. And he was like, dude, I had the most fired up skate session. That's so dope. He's like, that was one time getting together, and we ran through an assessment, a couple feel good movements, and a couple warm up things. That's it. And like, it's just going to keep going from there. And then me being a prime example for our own shit, because I'm about to be skating Twin Cities Open myself, one of the things that we're sponsoring. So getting it in. But shameless plug. But the thing is, like, for me, I've noticed, and I love that you brought that up, because I've noticed such a huge change in the, and I love that you brought up the run thing, because that's a huge thing for me. Is like, even if you're not a contest skater, right, you're out there skating with the homies in the streets, I fucking hate when I'm trying to get a trick, right? You're trying to get this trick, you're super focused, but then you just, your gas tank is out. Like, you're just like, like, you got to really sit back, take a second, and then your legs get soft because that adrenaline starts wearing down. Then you're like, shit, then you go try it again, boom, you get busted off, right? Like, that's what happens to me, at least. I don't know about y'all out there, but I've seen it happen to my homies. It's happened to me, and I've noticed that. I haven't street skated yet because it's been winter and stuff like that. Actually, no, I did right after my ankle surgery. So ankle surgery was in April. I was back on my board and street skating in July of last year. Right. So I made a pretty fast recovery. And then I noticed, like, where I really noticed it was like, because I came out of surgery just doing like the mobility stuff, getting ranges of motion, cruising around on my board, this and that. But then, like, when it came time to street skate, I at first just started implementing my strength training again, right? And I was just, I couldn't push around the city at all. It took me, I was just dying pushing around. I've never experienced that before. And yeah, I could have went and skated more, but I didn't have the time to go skate more, right? I only had like my specific times because of my family situation. I'm a damn grown man with a family. So it's like, I only have my times to skate. So what I do, it's easier for me to hop down in the gym real quick and train than it is to go to the skate park, go cruise around the city.
Now,
so
check this out, though. Do you think going that route of being able to strength train after an ankle surgery is the reason you're skating the way you are now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Of course. Oh, hands down, dude. So like, I think about like, okay, so I think about this, and anybody who knows me, I come from just a background of injury after injury after fucking injury. Like, my bone, well, they also didn't know all the way up until like 14, I had a really gnarly vitamin D deficiency. Vitamin D makes your bones pretty damn strong. I believe, I don't know what the normal range is.
Everyone has one, not to your extent. Like, you actually had a serious case, but if after, especially after COVID, you come to realize, like somewhat of 80 something plus people, at least in America, have a deficiency of vitamin D, and that's why we're so susceptible to get a virus and our immunity's down.
Yep. That's a huge thing. But for me, it was like 14. I think my levels were at like 15 to 20%, bro. Like, they were that low. Like, that's, and I believe the average is like, I can't even remember at the time when I did, it could be completely wrong, but it was like 50 to 75 or something like that. So mine just was, all I remember is it being very, very low. And I ended up getting like vitamin D shots that made the bone stronger itself. But I was still just getting injured back to back to back at that age. Now, it was, to me, I think back to it, and it's funny because we went from hips into this, but I think this is just a great topic to talk about, because for me, it was like, I would get hurt, hip injury, perfect thing. The Lake Owen thing I was talking about. Got speed wobbles, boom, smacked a launch ramp harder than I could ever imagine, chipped part of the bone on my hip, right? Was the craziest amount of pain I've really ever been in, other than like this ankle surgery I had. And I remember being put in like one of those long, like just whole leg sleeve things, you know, to like immobilize your hip so it goes through like the most limited amount of flexion or extension and flexion. So like, for me, I just sat around all day. Like, just sat around all day, leg in this position. And then all of a sudden the doctor tells me, all right, come in for a checkup. Wasn't doing anything. Of course, like, from upper body, I didn't know about any of this stuff, nothing. Would go in, get the brace off. They'd be like, yeah, I mean, you can start PT and this and that. I'd go to PT. They'd run me through like some stretches and stuff, right? And that was kind of like about it, because I mean, that's really all they do, like basic PT. If you just go to like a basic PT place, at least the place I was going to, now I have a much better place to go to. But I from there, would just go skate right away, just right away. And guess what? 2-3 weeks later, boom, injured again. Out for 2-3 weeks. And then I would break an ankle or something. And just all this stuff just kept happening. And I've noticed ever since I've had this ankle surgery, really put a focus into strength training. Like there'll be multiple times where I'm skating and I'll literally look down and I watch my ankle go whop up, and it just rolls on a ramp, bro. Like I'm just like, oh shit. But guess what?
You're good.
Guess what? It doesn't, I'm good to go. Like I'm good to go. Now that's could be multitude of things, but also I do believe it's just because my body's able to be like, hey, like you can kind
what
of
else would it be?
Go here. We can do
that. It's not a multitude.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's that you strength trained and did it properly. Don't give like literally yeah. What else would it possibly be?
That's
you
know true.
I mean? It's yeah. Not like all of a sudden I got the magic hand.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
you did the steps.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly. And it, yeah. And I wasn't just doing like, I wasn't just stretching my ankle out. I wasn't doing these banded mobility drills. No, I wasn't doing any of that. Like, yes, right after surgery, I was like rehab speaking wise. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Progression. But where I noticed the big difference is when I started loading up lunges again, really heavy. When I started loading up like front squats and just squatting more again, getting that range of motion back there and just getting strong in those positions. And then all of a sudden I was skating and I mean, I've been good, man. I feel great. That's the thing too, is like I feel, and I think that's the biggest thing, is like getting injured is such a thing in skating. Like it is very unpredictable. So like it could still just happen even to like the most athletic skater out there. If you were training like you like pretty much on point, diets on point, and you're skating, like you still could jump down a stair set and land with your fucking ankle sideways. And I'm sorry, but like you're jumping down a 20 stair. No training is going to save your ankle from that fall.
You from getting into that is strengthening your range of motion availability through loading it in the gym to increase your tissue tolerance. Because that's what we're doing in the gym.
Yes, of
course.
We're
utilizing gym equipment to strengthen our body's tissue tolerance to prevent injury. Because if you don't do that and you get injured,
that's where I think it comes in.
And you use bands to try to strengthen things. You know what's a lot more pressure on your body than a resistance band? Slamming after trying to jump 6 steps, 7 steps, even an ollie. You know how much pressure or ground resistance force comes back up every time we slam on the ground. It's like 11 times your body weight. You think a resistance band is going to build up your strength against that? Now you're not built for that yet. You got to go in the gym to get built for that.
No. And that's the thing too. I was going to get to like with the whole like me seeing my ankle rollover thing. It's like I've now like you're saying built that tissue tolerance. And like if you were to jump down this 20 stair and this happened, right? Like, yeah, injury still might occur, but probably going to be better off than if you didn't do anything because you have that there. So it's insurance, essentially, is how I look at it.
It's good insurance because like, a lot of this bullshit insurance doesn't exist. But
good insurance. Not this
like,
bullshit stuff.
It's just trying to mitigate injury. It's not saying you're never going to get injured in your life. It's just like, yo, dude, if you go into war without a bulletproof vest on, you're going to have less chance of getting survived if you get shot in the chest. So
that's why like people would be like, oh, how do I prevent injury? Like skaters will always ask me that. And I'm like, look, dog, like, I could be playing with my kid and get mollywopped in the face by a 1-year-old and get injured. Like I can't really prevent you from getting injured, especially on a skateboard. But what we can do is we can manage that risk of injury. And that's where like the strength training shit comes in, right? It's like, if you can build all the stuff we're talking about up, you're just going to have that insurance every time you get on your board. And then I also have it outside of that too, because look at, I know we love fucking skateboarding. Don't get me wrong, but there is other things going on. Like I know, like if we could all live on our skateboards all day, every fucking day, we would, but we end up growing up and we're adults and there's other things that
and,
we probably want to be able to deal with our life.
So about, it's not, this is the thing about being on a skateboard is the skateboard doesn't move unless you're on it. And what is you? A body. And if you want your body to move your skateboard longer, faster, stronger, you're going to need to resistance train in the gym with, and especially the best route to go would be with a coach, because like when you're going to skate, you're going to go learn from someone who rollerblades, or you're going to go learn from someone who skates and someone who skates well, right?
Exactly.
So when you go in the gym.
Exactly. Like we're not going to have a scooter kid come to third and be like, hey, can you guys give me a scooter lesson? Take your Fraser out of here.
Scooter kids. It's just so hard not to make fun of.
Ooh, that was a good one. I know, I'm sorry, kids.
Listen, no. Scooters are really cool for everyone under 15. 15 is the cutoff.
Yes.
16, you grow the fuck up and you get on a skateboard, okay?
Yep. Or just go, you know, might as well go the adult route if you want to keep that way and just get a second.
Fact, you just want to be that lazy fuck.
You might as
just
well
just segue everywhere. Like, you're not the best segue ever is the mall cop. When they're on segways,
the mall cop, bro.
And think about it, you want to be a mall cop? Okay, go skateboard then.
You know,
go skateboard. That was awesome.
Wow, that was good. Now, Lou, to take us out of here, what would you say? What for you with your training and the way you skate? Because like I think this is important too. Is like, so I speak from like the performance side and like just skating, wanting to be better every single time I get on my board and make sure I'm not getting injured and stuff. Now, somebody like you who is just cruising around having a good time, maybe it's the fitness person who picked up skating again and they're like, dude, I just don't want to get my shit rocked when I fall. Like, I just want to be better on my board. And like, well, how does this stuff play a role into it? Like, how have you noticed a difference for yourself?
Wow. When it comes to falling, all right, if you like, in the sense the way you skate, falling is different than the way I skate. When I'm just cruiser boarding through Manhattan and like hitting it, like I'm beating city bike kids on the skateboard, I'm going fast. If I fall, it's not, I don't think working out is going to help. Yeah, well, it will, because if you have muscle around your bones and your joints and your ligaments, that will help. Like,
real quick, speaking of that, I just perfect example, my shoulder, right? So I just had my MRI results yesterday. Found out like nothing too crazy, just that slight labral tear, but crazy amounts of inflammation in all my, like pretty much the posterior shoulder muscles, right? Yeah. So like the rotator cuffs, all this stuff. And what he thinks it's from is like you have muscle there that was working overtime as insurance to make sure your structure didn't get damaged any more than it already was. So every time I'm falling, every time I'm like all this stuff that I was still doing, just inflamed. But guess what? I'm not, it's going to heal on its own just from letting that shoulder relax now and letting it do its thing and let the inflammation come down. So I thought that was interesting you just said that, because my muscle literally was just proven to be my
beautiful
insurance.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. See, because
very good.
But really the way I skate is more of endurance. Like my skating is my cardio, really. Like, I mean, I walk every day in Manhattan, but like skating, my days when I skate, when I'm not barbell training, if I was working out right now and I was doing barbell training, my skating is my cardio. Like I'll skate down to Central Park, which is a couple blocks away, a couple avenues away. And then I'll skate Central Park, which is a big skate. And it's just pushing through. And that comes to, you know, squatting with 300 pounds on your back, benching, all these things that are building that cardio in your body. Because that's the thing. It's not like when you're, especially like the way you're powerlifting, it's like if I was working out, benching, squatting, deadlifting, all these things you do in the gym to really push yourself. It's not like you're going to the gym like, oh, I'm going to try to bend. Like you're using so much energy that one, like three reps of a bench press of a certain amount of weight can feel like you just ran a mile. You know what I'm saying? So like that's building.
I was just going to ask you like, where does like the strength training come into cardio?
Exactly.
And that's where you would say it comes in is like,
it's efficiency,
just that physical exertion of holding a heavy weight.
It's efficiency because our body has systems. You can be extremely strong, but if you have, if your cardio is got, you got no cardio, you're only going to go so far. You're only gonna be able to do as much. Because as you're trying to push, use that force, you're using cardio. Your heart's racing like a motherfucker because it's using intensity. Same thing as if I'm pushing and skating. And what it also allows me to do is now if I'm squatting with 300 on the back, I'm getting deep because I have to, if I was competing, I'd have to get my hips below my knees. That means I have to have a good range of motion and tissue tolerance. If I can do 300 on my back in that position, you don't think I can skate in that position? You know, that's the point. That if I can front foot elevated split squat goblet style 85 in my hand for 12s, that's going to elicit a ton of tissue tolerance to go skate now. That if I trip up on myself and I fall off my board, I might be able to catch my feet and jump into the bush instead of the car because I got tissue tolerance. Instead of hopping off that board, I twist an ankle and I just got my head ripped off by a friggin' 18-wheeler in Manhattan. Not that 18-wheelers, they do. A car, a taxi in Manhattan. You know what I mean? So,
that's more realistic.
That's where, like, for my style of skating, especially my style of skating, of like, I'm basically sprinting on a skateboard. So I gotta, I can't do my style of skating and be lazy and not in shape straight up. Cause I'm not, and I'm not knocking on any styles over there, but it's like I'm sprinting across Manhattan on a skateboard. Like that's literally all I'm doing.
Well, no, it's not knocking. It's just like own it. Cause it's like you can definitely, if you say like, oh, I'm not lazy, get the fuck out. If you're skating a park, you go do one trick and then you need to sit down cause you're gassed, you're lazy.
But that's like to me too, like we keep talking about, I just want people to understand this with the resistance of the tissue tolerances. We've talked about it before, injury is just too much applied force over your tissue tolerance. So your tissues, like let's say it's an ankle roll. You didn't have the stability or the range of motion to go into that roll without your tissue, like the ligaments in your ankle snapping.
That applied force, like if I'm training in the gym,
putting my ankle into dorsiflexion when I'm squatting with 300 on my back, I'm increasing the tissue tolerance for when I go skate or do anything in life.
And stopping that foot from pronating too much or supinating too much. Like, all that's working, you know, all that stuff.
That's what I'm trying to say with strength training and skating is like the culture of, yeah, and the culture, exactly. But the culture of skating has been this, and I love it, the awesome lords of Dogtown, like, you know, fuck society. Like, anywhere you go, it's like no skating allowed. You know, I love that. But guys, like, girls, ladies, gents, whatever you want to be called, they there, who where. We gotta be strong to be able to do this longer. And now let's say there's a fight against some scooter kids. You want to be stronger. You know?
Oh, man. No, that's, I mean, it's just, but it's so true, though, because it's like, yes, like, that stuff is dope. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's how I grew up, dude. Mm. I grew up at their lair. This literally has been the scene I grew up in, but I'm just like this black sheep now coming through to like fucking just make sure I'm
you're the one
everybody Neo. To like the yes, dude. I'm trying. But for me it's just like it's so interesting because it is making a shift. Like I'm seeing it like day in and day out. I go to third, people see me warming up, they're like, oh, what are you doing? I've never seen that warm up before. I'm like, oh, well, it helps this and this. And they're like, oh, okay. And they check it out or whatever. And like, there's definitely more wonder around it. And it's not to say like we can't have, dude, one of the dudes I'm training for Phoenix is the most crazy partier I know. Am I going to tell him to stop doing the things he does? No, because guess what? He still fucking skates. He'll literally drink his ass. Now, I will control this as much as I can, but he does this every year before this contest. They drink insane amounts the night before. They wake up dusted. They go skate. And guess what? He usually ends up in the
top.
Now,
check this out, though. You could, if that's your ritual, then do it. But guess what? The months before the skate competition, you should be strength training.
Take it out.
Like, because if you were to just drink every day up to that skate competition, you're going to feel like
shit. That's what we're doing now. You know? Yeah, and that's what we're doing now. That's what we're doing with these guys. So it's pretty cool to see it kind of like in play and like seeing people come around. And you do that both. Like I'm not. I drink, dude. Like it's not that I don't drink,
you know,
bro.
Who I am.
Like come on now. Come on. Like me and the me and the wife will bust it out, dude. And I'll go.
I'll try anything five times.
Now. Like in
every time I say that, the number goes up. By the way, I just realized that I heard myself on a podcast.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I heard myself on a podcast the other day. It was 3, and another podcast it was 4. Now we're at 5, so whatever.
It's okay.
Keep going. I'll just never stop doing anything.
Experiences. But
can't be addicted to one thing if you're addicted to everything. Off. How you doing? And that's medical advice.
If Jesus. Oh, so strength training and skating, it's more important than most of us think. Now we're coming around to it, and the thing is, it doesn't have to be this thing. Like strength training can be so different for each and every single one of us, right? It's not, we're not football players, right? It's not going to be the same thing you see Joe DeFranco and like all these guys doing out here for these football players and people who are just running through other athletes and stuff, right? These big, football players. That's the one thing I just keep saying. Or like, think like for me, like what I do too is like, I think like more so like look at jujitsu, right? So like think of people who fight for a living. They strength train. Now, why do they strength train? It's the same type of concept here, right? They want to be more powerful. Yes, they want to be stronger. Yes, they might need strength in certain positions, like their grappling stuff. Yes, but they're still doing the same concept of building that tissue tolerance while they're strength training, which is probably keep them safer in the ring. So, like, that's where I look at it. And those dudes, most of them, like, when I've looked into, like, how Juggernaut Training Systems like does their stuff. That's just like another big like kind of strength and conditioning group of people. They do amazing work with some MMA athletes, and I've watched a lot of their videos, and dude trains like 3 times a week, right? And he just makes sure he does a squat pattern, a lunge pattern, a hinge pattern, a vertical pull, horizontal pull, so like a pull up and then a row, and then carry, single arm, both arms, and some explosive work, right? And you split that up between 3 days, it's not that much work, right? It's like doesn't take that much. And also, like I said, it's very, very changeable to each and every single one of you. And if you want help to figure out exactly how you can fit training into your lifestyle and the way that you skate, you got a perfect resource right here.
Because one of the worst things I see people do is they go, all right, I want to get into fitness. YouTube.com.
They go on Instagram.
Instagram. YouTube.com.
Yes.
I'm going to do booty today. Mm-hmm. Booty. I'm going to do that workout. And it's like, yo, that person can be completely different than you. They're going to sell it to you like everyone like, can do this. Like, but sure, you might be able to. But one, you have no idea why you're doing it, when you're doing it, how you're doing it, what you're doing. Go find someone that can help you.
Like I have a training series coming out on our YouTube channel. That's going to be coming out soon, where it's going to be like what I'm doing in my training currently, getting ready for this contest coming up, right? I'm going to preface it millions of times over while I'm doing it, and like, hey, my training is my training. Like, your training is going to look different. This is all based off of an assessment that I went through and broke down and then continued just to progress from there. And like, that can be, like you said, different for everybody. Like, that's where we come in. That's where us as coaches come in.
We're here for you.
Somebody who skates.
Please come, let us serve you.
Skates on a regular basis.
That's what we're here for.
Come on, hit the links.
Come on.
They're in the bottom. Nah, but seriously though, like, and to me, like, I just want to make sure that if you want to skate, you can keep skating. And if you want to skate better, you can do that. And this is really a huge answer, I think, that strength is just missing for majority of skaters out there.
This is how we do.
Just know that everybody is capable of being extreme.